And when were you born, son?
March 25, 1929.
And whereabouts?
La Grande.
And can you give me just a brief background of how long you've been in Northeast Oregon,
Well, actually, all my life, Jerry, except for a couple of years I was in the service.
Yeah, what years was that?
That was 1950-52. I was in the Korean.
Okay. Then, what did you go grow up like in La Grande as far as
no,
going to school?
No, I was born in La Grande. At that time, the folks lived on a place out the other side of Island City there, east of Island City, about 5 miles or six, something like that. And when I was about 2 years old then, they bought a place up Catherine Creek. And we moved up there, and then from Catherine Creek we moved into Union, and I spent the rest of my life here. So like I say, other than that Korean situation.
Then can you give me a little bit of background of all the time spent, like growing up in the woods, or of course when you started with the Forest Service or anything else?
Well, of course, as a kid, Dad started us hunting when I killed my first deer when I was 12 years old. And I've hunted ever since. Hunted upland game, waterfowl, deer, elk, and not so much elk until I was a little older, about 16, I guess, when I started hunting elk. And we were always in the mountains, either mining or whatever, just plain messing around. Then I started work for the Forest Service when I was 16. That was in May of 1945.
And what area did you work with the Forest Service?
Well, I started out in on trail crew. Worked the first 2 years. That, of course, was in my summer vacation. I was still in high school. Worked my first 2 years then on the trail crew, and then after that I went into fire control and just a little bit of everything. I scaled and cruised and marked timber and the whole thing. Did the whole ball of wire.
No, it was pretty much on the old Union District.
Mm-hmm, that was. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But tromped a lot of ground from one end to
the
other.
Oh, I guess.
I guess to start would be any either personal sightings you've had or any knowledge you might have of species that would be either extinct in this area now or endangered or real rare. That'd be different things like wolf, grizzly bear, wolverine.
The only thing that I can think of along that line, Jerry, would be this little fox that used to be in this country. Now, I've seen two of those.
Was that a red fox?
No, they're a dark colored.
Oh, dark.
Yeah, they're a real dark colored little fox. They're not very large. I saw both of those in South Catherine the same year. That was in 1949. It could have been the same one, of course, too. You don't know. But yeah. Other than that, I can't think of much, Jerry.
What about nesting bald eagles? Do you remember any that were in here during the summer times or nesting?
There used to be one over around Mud Springs there, off of Lick Creek, out of Medical Springs. There was a bald eagle nested there. And the only other one that I can think of is the one that was at the end of Leaf Valley Reservoir. That pair that was in there for a good number of years on the cliff.
Yeah, I remember what years about that would have been on the one at Medical and then
the one at Medical was that would have been in the 60s. Was when we were putting in, I forget what timber sale, but we were putting in a timber sale and we ran into it then. That was, yeah, it had to have been in the middle 60s, around 65, 66 in there.
Mm-hmm.
And the one here on Thief Valley was in the 70s. It would have been around 74, 75.
Yeah, I heard about that one. Mm-hmm. I never did get down there and see that one.
And of course, well, the one you know, the golden eagle up there on Medical, and then there was another golden eagle around there by Fruit Springs. I remember that one.
Yeah, I don't know, was that the one right above the road in that big fruit
mm-hmm,
tree?
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know they've still yeah. quite a few golden, yeah. it seems like, but the ball, they've come in the wintertime.
Yeah.
As far as nesting ones, they seem to be pretty
good. Of course, not so much in this area, but down there on, when we first started going down to Brownlee Reservoir, that was in the 60s. There were two or three bald eagle nests around there at that time that we saw in there. I don't remember the name of the creek now where that one big one was, but the nest had been used for quite a while, apparently.
Was that before the dam was in?
That was after, just
that
after.
After the dam was in.
Mm-hmm.
But have you seen any sign of them?
No, have not, have not.
Do you remember any, like, peregrine falcons or anything else?
I don't recall any peregrine falcons. Goshawks, yeah, but no peregrine falcon.
What about sharp-tailed grouse population? The change over the
year? Well, that's one of those things, you know, that... you really don't pay that much attention to them until they're gone. You know, and you once wake up and, hey, you know, what happened to them? You know, you just, you know, you don't really...
Take it for granted.
It's just... but you just don't see them anymore. That's.
Do you remember what areas that you'd seen them in or knew they were in?
I think most of them that I recall were up here, what we call the North End, Mecca. Oh, prominence in that country in there.
Hmm.
And that's probably where I saw the most that I ever saw was in that country there.
Remember about when the last you saw them up there?
Yeah, I was trying to think. We were... We were down there on a fire one time. It was after I got back from the service. Had to be late 50s or early 60s, Terry. It was while I became fire control officer in 1956. So it had to be, it was before that. So it was sometime in the middle 50s in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I can actually say that I saw them. That was, I guess, the last time that I saw them in there.
Do you remember about how many there were there, or what the population?
I think, no, I can't. You know, it's just to say that mm-hmm. here was a grouse, you know. We saw him there that morning when we were on the fire.
Mm-hmm.
How many, I couldn't see, you know. Whether there was a big population or what, I can't. Yeah, I couldn't really say it here.
Okay. What about either pine marten or any sight of wolverine?
Never seen a wolverine. I've seen one pine marten, and that was over on Elk Creek.
Was that back in about the 50s?
Yeah, let's see. That was, we was in there on a pack trip, a private trip. I'm trying to think when that was. We were living, that was in the 60s. Yeah, be around 62 or 3.
And which Elk Creek is that?
The one that drains into the Minum, just the other side of China Cab, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Do you know, or have any idea on the fish hatchery just up Catherine Creek, Slim, when that was actually in put in or running?
I can remember going up there and watching the feed fish when I was a kid, around 10, 12 years old, so that would put it around in the 30s and 40s in there. I remember it then for sure.
Do you recall what fish they were raising up there?
They were rainbow, for sure, and then the larger fish in the holding pens outside that they had were rainbow, probably. Oh, I remember it being around 6-7 inches long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you know when that closed up or when they were shut her down? Or any background, the reasons behind it?
No, I sure don't, Jerry.
Okay.
There would be a person there to get a hold of. She's still alive. That's Grace Eddy. Lives in Baker.
Oh, yeah. Buck Eddy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She could give you more on that probably than anyone. Seems to me the man's name that ran it was Green when it was a fish hatchery.
While you're growing up, do you remember anything like the Indians' routes or any times they were coming up to fish or any?
Well, I remember the Indians, you know, on the creek, but mm-hmm. as far as where they camped and all of that, all I could, you know, all I've heard is stories, you know. They mm-hmm. used to camp right there just about at the fish hatchery, and there used to be quite a camp mm-hmm. right there. But I do remember him as a kid, you know, on the creek, and then actually in later years, it wasn't too long ago, 15 years ago, they were still trying to fish it, you know. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember anything about the fish runs or what fish were in there and kind of population or how?
In, so on the salmon, you mean?
Yeah, salmon mm-hmm. principally. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, man, I can remember the salmon. I mean, there were salmon here, you can't hardly believe, you know, this, I suppose, was before all the dams, but yeah, we had Chinook salmon up here that, oh heck, large fish, very large fish. In fact, is my brother and I used to be named Little Salmon and Big Salmon. Yeah, that's legal then, you can go after them with a, what they call a salmon glass and a grab hook, and that's the way we fish for them. Yeah. Yeah, there were many, many of them in there. And the fish were actually, Mom used to can them, so quality-wise, they were pretty good fish, you know. That's different than a lot of these you see in the stream today. I don't think I'd even eat one today.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Was that pretty consistent each year? As
mm-hmm.
far as
you bet, yeah. Concerned? We used to... Mm-hmm. Oh, on or about stock show time, you could just about count on them, you know, about that time the run would be here. And we used to go out to the old Davis Dam or Benson Dams out here in the valley, you know, and that's where we'd first get them, then we'd kind of follow them up the creek, you know.
Did they have any, remember, season on them or the numbers that you could...
I don't recall. Is there was probably a fishing season that included the salmon. And probably open like the fishing seasons did then in May, along in May. But as far as tags or anything like that, there wasn't anything. And as far as I can remember, there wasn't a limit because we'd get four or five big fish in a day, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Do you remember about when that, as far as the large runs, when that was slowing down?
Well, I was trying to think here. When I was about 12 years old. Long in there, 10, 12, 13, 14, they had there was a large run of fish. So that would put you in about in the 30s, late 30s and early 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They also had something that here at that time, it's this big lamprey eel. We used to have those in Catherine Creek.
Oh, yeah.
And I've heard people say that they didn't get up this far, but I'll dispute that because I've seen them here. And mm-hmm. actually, what we do there at the old city water intake, they had a walkway. There was a dam there, and then there was a walkway across this dam above the spillway. And we'd go out there at night, and this was legal, and we'd hang a gas lantern there. Well, these fish then would run up the dam, you see, under that gas line. We'd gig them then on that on the apron of the dam. And every once in a while, you'd see one start up through there. You'd think it's a salmon, and it was actually one of these blasted eels.
I'll be darned.
They're quite a thing. You know, they were large. They were probably in diameter, 2.5 inches in diameter and 3 feet long.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. They were the ones with the portholes along the side, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whereabouts was the dam at that time? Putting into
It was right, well, there were actually two dams there. There was one below the settling ponds, and then the main dam, or the dam on the main stem of the creek there. They had the creek divided, and they could put part of it into their holding ponds, and then the main creek was over on the, it'd be the west side next to the hill there. There was two dams, and one of them, I think, is still in place. The upper dam is still there, or the parts of it, I think.
That's still above the flour mill there, or the fish hatchery?
No, this is clear up.
Oh, way up.
Way up where the city
intake. Oh, the city intake, mm-hmm. The current intake.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Right. It was right, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know if they had another one at that time.
Yeah, these other dams were here, but usually they were just free-flowing, you know. Mm-hmm. They weren't dammed up at that time, and there weren't much of an obstacle to the salmon.
Remember about the fish runs on some of the other streams and
rivers? Not really. I didn't have much to do with the Grand Round at that time. We did most for fishing here.
Didn't know about like the Eagle Creeks, if you remember.
No, the first time, of course, the Eagle Creek was in 1945 when I went in there. But yeah, I've caught steelhead in Eagle Creek and caught salmon in Eagle Creek as high up as West Eagle Meadows. Mm-hmm. So they did make it there before they put in the dams on the Snake. They had a real healthy run of Chinook in that Eagle Creek.
Did you ever get over in the mine to fish?
Not until I started work for the Forest Service. And there again, that's kind of like, kind of like Catherine Creek. You hit that at the right time of the year, and you could actually smell the stream before you got to it, you know, from the salmon dying. There were that many there.
Remember, Slim, on like the fur-bearing populations and distribution of beaver or mink or anything along those lines in this area?
Well, of course, start out with the most common one, the muskrat. I used to, there again as a kid, and then during the winter months while I was going to high school, I trapped quite a lot. And I trapped both muskrat and mink. And, I suppose I started trapping when, about 1945, 46, 47, 48 in there, and I trapped. And usually did pretty good, especially on the muskrat. But I trapped mink on Big Creek, Catherine Creek, Little Catherine, and then around out here in the valley around the sloughs and that. But did quite well. There were quite a few mink, yeah. Fact is, I think the best winter I ever had while I was in high school, where was it? I think it turned in 22 mink pelts. So that was pretty good. There really wasn't that much competition either as far as trappers. I don't think there were. At that time, about three trappers in the valley then. The old man Barnhart and Bert Wardell, a few people like that.
Have you seen, since that time, as far as the mink population, any eye?
From the sign, I don't believe, from the sign I see, you know, when I'm out fishing, even on Eagle Creek, where there used to be so much, I don't think that we have as many mink. Now, that's just, you know,
yeah, we'll just, see
just a personal observation, but I just don't think we have the mink that we used to have.
What about beaver distribution or numbers?
Well, that's one I didn't ever try and trap them, but...
I think just sign as far as...
Yeah, I think, from what I can... I'd say it's just about the same, Jerry. Right? Mm-hmm. There maybe used to be a few more up around the Eagle Creek country, I don't know, than there is now. But that in there, back two-color, Cougar Meadows up through there, there used to be quite a few beaver in there, but you don't see that much sign in there anymore. Mm-hmm.
On the big game population, well, let's start like with the bighorn sheep on that old bunch. Do you remember anything about that as far as
no, I don't, Jerry.
Seeing or that. Okay. Antelope, was there anything that you recall from back there in distribution in this area?
Actually, since I started driving that Powder River country out there, I don't think there's a whole lot of difference, you know, now from what it was 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. You'd see that occasional small herd out there, you know, and that, or maybe just, you know, a single or a pair or something like that. But I don't think there's just actually been that much change in there. Mm-hmm. There's never been that many antelope. I guess the furthest north I've seen an antelope right out here, right back at the old Dobbins place. Saw one out there 3 years ago.
I had one in my wood pile too. Right out back the house there last year. It was the buck of the doe, the old buck. I don't know where he disappeared to, but boy, she was just having a fit. Trying to get across the road over the fence.
Yeah, they can't handle a fence very well.
But she's real excited. I don't know if he disappeared or somebody got him or what happened, but boy, she was sure upset.
I laughed at this young fellow's hunting with. Here we saw that one over there. We were deer hunting, so we were doing, you know. He came back and he stood around and he looked at me for a while, you know, and he kind of, I could see something was wrong, you know. He says, are there any antelope in this country? I said, did you see an antelope today? He says, yes, I sure did. I said, well, I did too.
I start to see.
Yeah, he didn't believe.
Yeah. Last year, that buck and doe right down there in the old Titus pasture, Robinson's there. They're bedded down for a couple of days there along the creek, little creek there. And then all of a sudden he disappeared, and she was came right up by the house there. I hadn't seen any other sign of him since then at all. What about the deer population? From when you're growing up compared to any specific areas or things you can think of?
Especially the Keating area, I guess. Along in the late 40s, 48, 49 in there, I had contracted a lot of tree pruning out there. I was out in that country quite a lot. Around the Fruit Springs area and east of there. But, I don't know how to put it in numbers, but it was not unusual to see bunches of 200 and more deer. And then, and we were maintaining that south boundary fence down there, you know, clear around into Goose Creek country and clear into breaks of Eagle Creek. That was just common all the way through that country.
Yeah, that area used to be, that was in the early 60s there. Even then, there's about 70, 75 up those jaws there around Sparta in there.
We, one time there, at the same time that this would have been 48, I think, but we were going out there to prune there one morning and ran into this big cat track out there, and old Bob Walker had his hounds at that time, so the rest of the guys went on to their pruning. I went down and got old Bob and got his dogs, and we went out and we eventually got the cat. But we left right from the cattle guard there in Mango Gulch and went right up that draw to the west there, out through there. And we ran into one bunch of deer there. We sat down and counted them. We came up with about 375 had a deer in one bunch, and you could see it as you came down this way into the Catherine Creek country. There was around the old Edmondson place in there. It was not unusual there to count 250 head in that field, that wheat field of theirs above the highway there. And there were deer scattered all the way from the top of the summit, you know, big bunches of them clear down through right practically into Union here. But of course, you just don't see that at all, you know, anymore.
You know, what about the habitat at that time for, in comparison to today? Do you remember?
Well, I can't see as there's been that much change in it. As far as the winter kill, they probably in proportion had as much, you know, or more then than they do now. But there was a heavy winter kill every winter, but there were so many more that you had so many more you survive, you know. But as far as that country around Medical there, where there were so many deer, I can't see that that's actually, there's much change in it as far as the browse. The thing I do remember is seeing that browse over there around the Sparta grade out in that country where there's so much bitterbrush out in that country where they used to eat it down, you know, the size of your little finger. You can go out through there now and heck, they're hardly touching that stuff. You know, there's just not that many deer to where they're really using that stuff like they used to.
Did you ever see any whitetail numbers at all?
No, not until, the first whitetail I guess I can remember seeing was around 1978, 79 in there. And those were back at Elgin over there. That's the first ones. And then since then, I've seen them over, this last fall, there was a small buck over here in the State Farm, up there on the upper end of the State Farm. But now, like I say, the first one I think I saw was around 78, 79 over there back at Elgin. Another thing about the deer, that the number of deer that used to be around the Mule Peak in that country in there, I remember one hunt there. I left them down there on Pole Creek, and I hunted up through Sand Pass Creek, around the backside of Mule Peak into South Catherine, and came back through between Mule Peak and Burger Butte, and down into the one fork of Middle Fork, and then back down to the Rig. And could have shot 13 bucks that day and turned them down. Yeah. Play out doing that now.
What about the size in comparison to that?
Well, there again, you would see larger bucks, more of them. The biggest buck I ever killed was 286 pounds. Killed him on Little Catherine, and a buck that size now is damned unusual. Mm-hmm. While I was on Mule Peak, 1949, I'd go out just about every evening, and I had 7 4-point or better bucks that I would watch every evening from Mule Peak there. Beautiful bucks.
Yeah, because I know probably all that country over East Eagle too, there's some big ones hanging clear up in those high.
Around Looking Glass Lake used to be another place. That was a big buck country if there ever was one. Boy, there's some big bucks in that country. But there's still a few in there, but not like there used to be.
Remember on the elk population, the change over the years from.
When in the 40s there, and now is this Keating country I'm talking about. It was unusual to see an elk or elk sign around that Forche country, Goose Creek country, and down in there. You just didn't hardly see it. And then, I don't know, they just gradually increased. For what reason, I don't know. But you begin to see more elk sign in there. That's all the way through that Keating area this happened. Until there, early 60s, late 60s, and early 70s, there was quite a bunch of elk in that country. But now then, they've kind of gone the other way again. There are just not so many elk in there. In 1968, I killed an elk in Excelsior Gulch. Again in 71, I killed an elk in Excelsior Gulch, I think it was. Yeah, 71. And there were just quite a few elk in there at that time, and not too many hunters, really. Mostly local hunters.
I think Ed and Carly said that first there were of course, had the either sex season to keep them out of there, figuring out his prime deer range.
Yep, that's just exactly right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Remember when that was, when they first hunted?
Well, let's see. When did you come back here?
Well, it's 59 when I got out of the Army. And I remember Ed was hunting shortly thereafter, or maybe it was about that time.
Yeah, I was trying to remember, because when I was thinking of, when Vern Pritchard was here, we were marking timber there out of two-color. And that area was either sex at the time, and he wanted an elk. And I said, well, if I wanted an elk, I'd go right up Jim Creek and get myself an elk. And he did.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll forget that. So that had to be...
And probably 58, 57
in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts? There's been, I guess, quite a bit talking about, you know, when an area is eroded as far as the detrimental to the elk or that, and yet it seemed like all that area was eroded in that whole south end, yet the elk came in.
I don't know. I've heard both sides to that, but as far as I'm concerned, it depends more on the cover and some of these things than it does the roads. A good example, I think, is over there in some of that Grand Round country, which is a lot of it in private and closed now. It's into that gate business, Dale Stanley and some of those owners over there. But I used to hunt in that country quite a bit over there, and there were roads all over it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it had a larger elk population than what you had in the Keating area.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, that's what always kind of struck me, being that way, where you had all that whole area pretty much as eroding, yet the elk were moving into it.
They liked it. There was something there they wanted, or they were being pushed out of someplace else. I don't know what it is, but no, there's one thing I noticed the last 2 years. I've gone back up to my old stomping grounds here in the Catherine Creek area, and that's up there under Berger and head to Sand Pass Creek, Pole Creek, and in there. And since they put the cattle in there, when was that? 80? 78, 79, 80 in there? That I don't think we have near the elk population in there that we used to have. I think the cattle are in the mountains, too much competition. But as far as the Catherine Creek elk, there may be fewer now than there was back in, say, the 50s. I don't know. But I can't see that much change in it myself, in the elk number.
Mm. Probably pretty consistent. What about size of elk in comparison?
You get back in the high country there and on the breaks, I think the last time Don and I hunted deer up there, and she went up with me, I think, was in 77, and we saw, and during deer season, we saw five bulls that I would shoot any day, I'll tell you. They were 5 and 6 point bulls, and there was just quite a few of them back there.
Yeah, in some of this interview, though, there's been some comments about, like, with the archery season now, where they have it both a period of time during the rutting season and for the length there of where there's being able to call them in and taking out quite a few of the big bulls.
Mm-hmm.
You got any thoughts on the
archery
season and the time it is?
It's possible for them to do this, and it's the fact is, I've seen two big bulls. Let's see, what was that? It would have been 82. I saw a real big bull taken that way right up here at Fraser. He was a 6 point. He called it in. Yeah, I think that happens.
It seems like the archery equipment has gotten more sophisticated.
Oh, yeah.
Plus
sights and you name it, and they've got it, compound poles and all that. It doesn't take a very, very husky man, you know, to let go of an 80-pound pole anymore with this new type of bow that they're using.
Do you have any thoughts about what the season should be or period of time? Or
Well, I don't know. The deer season used to run into the rut. I didn't agree with that because a buck deer, he gets a lot of other things in his mind when he, you know, when he's in the rut, and he doesn't pay near as much attention to the hunter. And I think a bull elk's the same way. Well, I know he is because I've actually worked myself right into a bunch of bulls during, you know, deer season when they're still in the rut. And I don't think I'd have to say that I don't think that they should have it during the rut.
Do you remember, Slim, in the past, any like the special hunts where they've had for problem areas or problem deer of when, I remember like out medical, that they'd have the season, special hunts would be like in December, and yet that's when all the deer were gone. That,
yeah, they were getting their own deer, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've never agreed with that. If they're going to have a special hunt, why don't they have it in August? When those deer, the problem deer are there, you know, and they can go after the problem deer instead of a deer that comes in from Eagle Creek or someplace else, you know.
Yeah, because this year, like up the house there, the whole, everything was down. And they had the hunt there in December and January.
Right? Yeah. No, that isn't, I don't agree with that at all. It's not, you're not after the deer that you want to get. They had that same thing over in the Keating area there that year. You could actually, if you wanted to go about it, you could come up with five deer. You could get five tags. And the deer that they were killing weren't the deer that were in there year-round. These were deer that had moved in, you know, because this hunt took place in November. Well, you already got the high deer, you know, that are moved into that country, that have moved down. And I didn't agree with that hunt at all.
What year was that about?
Oh, had me around 80 in there someplace, I think, Jerry. And they were having some problem, they thought, with the winter feed over there, and so they wanted to get rid of a bunch of the deer, and they did. Yeah, I saw one pickup there, it looked like cordwood in the back, and they were all those.
Do you remember, Slim, I guess you got a snake herd quite a bit, didn't you, before the dams were in there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, many years ago, Pine Creek and that, we used to go in there and steelhead fish, sturgeon fish, yeah.
Of how the, what the vegetation was in those bottoms as far as winter feed for the game?
Well, from what I can remember, Pine Creek, you know, like I say, at that time you weren't thinking about these things, but what I can remember, Pine Creek, there just wasn't that much change in there. They always had cattle in there, you know. They had those places up and down through there. And I can't remember there being that much change in there. That, you know, as far as the browse and that, I don't think. But there again, just not paying that much attention, you know, at the time. I do know one thing, there were a lot more sheep in that country when we first started going down there. They ran sheep all over that country, which today they don't.
What about on the over in this country, in the Grand Ronde Valley, as far as the change of vegetation there? Of course, it's getting into not only for the deer or elk, but also bird population of the habitat change.
Well, there's been a tremendous change. One of the best examples I can give you is this, the old Davis place out here, where you used to have all the sloughs, you know, that meandered through there, and they were completely brush-lined. The banks were all brush-lined. There was so much more pheasant population here then, I mean, and then cover and everything, but well, I guess just from the way they've their farming practices, the way they're farming now, they're farming it different. But there were so many more places. Well, another one is right out here in front of your place.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that used to, that whole creek down through there used to be brush lined all the way. There were brush patches in there, half acre in size. You see, that weren't farmed at all.
Yeah, it's just a little line of trees in there.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yeah, barely anything in there now. Mm-hmm. That used to be one of our favorite hunting spots, you know, as a high school. And we just, right after school, you know, we'd grab our shotgun and away we'd go. You stepped over that Swaghammer ditch and you were outside the city limits, and we killed birds there all the time. And we would get our limit when there were three roosters was a limit. We could get our limit there pretty easy.
Do you remember when, if there's like any massive change during a period of time, or just kind of gradual?
It's been a gradual thing, yeah. It's just is the, well, there again, like that Davis place, is the farming method changed. Well, then that has changed. The habitat has changed. But a lot of the that's at Woodruff. Now he put in a lot of that that was never cultivated before. It was just kind of a wild thing out through there along Catherine Creek, north of Sherman Hawkins' place. A lot of that in there, you see, was boy, that was beautiful bird hunting. But there was just cover all over out there.
Give me some idea of the for like the pheasant, of when that heavy population or the difference in populations there about for curfew.
Well, it's gradually decreased since '60s. Started in as about 60, and it's gradually decreased ever since. I remember in 1963 I bought Donna a shotgun, 20-gauge shotgun. I used to buy them, they're all full of the cosmoline and the grease and all of that. I took leave one afternoon, went over and picked up the gun. I came home, lived there at the Forest Service at the time, cleaned that gun up, took the dog and went out in that field of Hawkins there. In 20 minutes I was home with three birds. Try that now.
What do you think? It's pretty much just the habitat, or do you think of anything else?
Well, it's the habitat too, and then it's some of our sportsmen. I don't think there's a lot of people. I would like to see a little more enforcement in that. A lot of people, a bird got up, they didn't care whether it was a rooster or a hen or what, they let drive. And I think that that had a lot to do with it. And there are more hunters now, of course, than there was. And like I say, it's the way they hunt. Even last year, I saw one out there hunting from the back of a pickup. You know, here they are, cruising the stubble field in the pickup. Yeah. Instead of going out there and getting on their old 2 feet and doing it. Well,
what about observation along those lines, too, with the big game or other things of over?
Well, I don't think it's as bad now, but for a while there, when we had these cow tags, you know, I think they were bringing in more than one cow on that cow tag, you know, failing to punch the thing and going out the next day and getting another cow. I think there was quite a bit of that for a while, but I don't think there's that much anymore.
I know that you see quite a bit, particularly up that Hall Ranch and going up over Medical, where the deer they just shot and left lay there.
Yep, yeah.
Back when was it, mid-60s or late 60s.
Well, and they first had those late seasons over there in that Keating country, and not so much Keating, but around Forche and that on the breaks of the Powder out in there. There was a lot of that. Ed and I, that one day out there running lines, I think we ran into three carcasses that had been shot and left.
Yeah
they up and shoots themselves a doe, and then they gets up and sees her, you know, and she's a little poor, maybe a little skinny or something like that, and just walks off and leaves her.
Yeah, it seemed like, in a way, a different breed, too, that back, in the 30s, a lot of people, they were maybe shooting, but then using it there for the families.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
compared
right.
to, like I said, up that Hall Ranch, I remember we counted, six or seven does and fawns just left out there late. They shot during the night,
yeah,
and then
right
up on the summit, there's a couple.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even try to take anything.
It's like those two idiots down there at the Thief Valley, you know, and
since that time, probably early 60s or whatever, I haven't seen Mm-mm. Hardly any, or if any.
No.
Driving through, there haven't been over there that much, but.
Well, it used to be, you know, kind of all over, right up, right up towards Rainbow Flat here. As I was a kid, you know, we'd take our 22s and go up there rabbit hunting, and there used to be lots of jackrabbits up there, but you don't hardly see a jackrabbit up there now.
Yeah, I don't think they've ever come back. I think there's a lot of, seemed like an awful lot of skunks this last few years. You remember from what that cycle had been? Because I remember in the 50s or 60s, it was kind of rare to see a skunk around.
Yeah, right. Yep. It's there again, it's gradually increased. You used to go out, you could go hunting, you know, with a dog. You'd never get into trouble unless you're, you know, with a hunting dog. But the last 2 years that I hunted with a dog, which was 4 years ago, that dog got into what? One day he got into three out here. I used up all the tomato juice in Union.
I just wondering when you're growing up around here whether you ever had the skunk population.
Once in a great while you'd get one in a mink set. Yeah. And that would be all. But I mean that was once in a great while. But you just didn't see them. You didn't see their sign, you know, where you see it now. But you go along any of these sloughs out here that are down, you know, and you look at the skunk tracks along the edges, and man alive.
Yeah, just along the highway between here and the Grand, of the number that are hit, just amazing, those last, especially last year and the year before. Yeah,
but they're, the other thing that I really don't agree with, as far as this upland bird thing, they're one of the worst, and the next one is a magpie. I used to go out here and jog and walk along a lot of these tree rows out here in the valley, you know, these willow rows along these windbreaks. And you can go along there and find just pheasant egg after pheasant egg, or you could, you know, and there's still quite a few birds around where these magpies would pick them up and, you know, drop them and eat them. No, I don't agree with protecting that bird at all.
What about currently the magpie population? I'm talking with Ed, and he said, I guess it's way down over there. They don't see anywhere near like they used to.
If anything, it's up here, I think, Jerry. Just, from what you can see, because before...
Been out that much. We did have one come around the house there. Well, I had a couple, three, I think 2 years ago. And then this year, I just saw one come through one day, which you're never used to.
You get out in the valley though, in the spring when they're, you know, when they're hatching out, there's quite a few magpies. Yeah.
Now, for some reason, it said I guess they're quite a way to go. What used to be, you know, real heavy over there, the population seems to be down.
I think your magpies are hard on your chuckers too. Mm-hmm. I think they do them much good. Well, that skunk thing, I don't know, it's kind of funny. We used to go down, we fished down there at Troy for a year for steelhead, long before, you know, they closed it for a long time, now it's open again. But anyway, when we first started down in there, we'd see a skunk occasionally, you know, we'd have a little problem with one, but, man, the last time we stayed down there, there were skunks all over the place, you know. I don't know, so it's just not here, it's all over.
It just seemed like it just exploded in the population. And George is saying too, I guess all raccoon around this area have been real heavy. Do you remember anything about any where they used to have game farms or anything like that in this area? Raising the pheasant or when that was?
No, I can't think of anything right offhand, Jerry. The pheasants they used to release here, they hauled in from someplace.
Well, I guess over at Hermiston they had the big game. Well, they're at Mission, and then they moved it, I guess, into Hermiston country, someplace in there, out close to where that, I guess, the Hermiston Road and Freeway. It worked over there on the fish screens and that, but he said that was, they had that over there, and just that. They distributed all over.
Yeah, right. There. Yeah, other than that, I can't remember there being anything here. There was some, those were private deals, or there used to be a fur farm down here.
What was that, mink up there?
I can't remember now what the heck that was. I don't think it was mink, because what they had about a... Well, they had pens there that were probably half acre in size. And then it was fenced with chicken wire about 6 feet high, and then around the top of the fence they had a piece of galvanized tin, probably 18 inches high, so whatever they had in there couldn't climb the wire, then climb over. I can't remember what in the world that was. But it's right in there where... they've drained it all now, but it's where Pat Huffman owned, you know, that place across from the mill there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was back down in there. Yeah.
You remember about the, as far as early predator control, what was being done and the changes?
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, the cat. Cougar, they used to have a $50 bounty on him. I collected on one of those. And, let's see, for a while we had the bounty on the coyote. You should remember that here. When did they have that? Wasn't too long ago. Yeah, they had, what was it, $5 on them? Something like that. And then, way back... There in the 30s and early 40s, I think, they had a bounty on crows and magpies. So much apiece, I remember that. Two bits apiece or some darn thing.
Oh, is that for the pheasant?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and fact is, I think they even had out traps for them, similar to these traps they use on starlings now around these orchards and whatever. And what else? I can't think of anything else.
Remember when 1080, when they started using that, or when that was phased out?
Well, let's see, 1080. When I was a fire control officer, I think, that would have been in the 50s, I went out and mapped 1080 stations for the fishing, the U.S. trapper or whatever, on the south end down there. So that was when I was fire control officer. I think that was in the 50s, Harry. And then when they phased it out, I really don't know.
Yeah, because still here in 59, mm-hmm. I remember seeing them mm-hmm. there, so I think it must have been that early 60s, like mm-hmm. probably 61, 62, or maybe a little bit later mm-hmm. than that, but I think it's...
Yeah, that's, I think, about that time the environmentalists started getting on it, and mm-hmm. yeah. Well, we as Forest Service, we were still using 1080 grain right up until when?
Been probably towards the mid or late 60s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it had to be.
Yeah, yeah. Someplace in there. Mm-hmm. No, I was thinking more of the stations that they had. Because I guess they used to have what it was the cyanide mm-hmm. way back, and then what they do go from that to the 1080.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You didn't mention sturgeon fishing, so I mean, remember anything of any change, like when a number of runs or anything about the sturgeon, what areas?
Well, ever since I've been big enough to fish for them, I guess we fish for them on the Snake River, and that hasn't changed much other than the season now. There is no season. But, I guess I caught my first sturgeon when I was 17 years old. That was on the Snake River, and we've caught them ever since.
assume there's been any much change in population during that time? Or?
I don't think so. It was kind of a seasonal thing, you know. You fish for them in the spring and in the fall. We used to down there and still do the same thing, you know, when we fish for them, but, or did up until I quit fishing for them down there. Below the Hell's Canyon Dam, the fishing was better there than it ever was above the dam, when there was no dam, you know what I mean, on upriver the way it used to be. I think the fishing, that dam, you know, I don't think they could run beyond the dam. You had a congregation of them below the dam down in there because, that one day, Ed and I and Jim Zanelli went down there. And that day we had on 11 sturgeon and landed 7. All illegals, too large. Yeah. But I think that's just because of the dam, and those same fish used to, you know, run from there clear on up into Idaho and, you know, clear on up through there.
Just got stopped there at the dam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you recall anything about the High Lake country of stocking the High Lakes?
No, everything that, I think they still did a little stocking after 1945 when I went to work for the Forest Service. They were still doing a little stocking then. They were doing it by air at that time. And along in the 50s, they stocked Mackinac, Cutthroat, and some of those in the Eagle Lakes up there. They put Mackinac in, I don't remember catching any mack out of Looking Glass Lake, but they put Mackinac in Main Eagle Lake. They put Cutthroat in Bear Lake. But the Brookies were there from day one. Now, how much additional stocking was done after 45, I don't know, but in 45 there were brookies in all of those lakes. In fact, there's a pretty good population of brookies in Main Eagle Creek above the falls. Used to be real good fishing for brookies in there. As far as population, I can't see that there's that much change until later years when there's more pressure, you know, on those lakes, and it seemed like the fish got a little larger and you caught fewer of them. But like old Diamond and Tombstone over here, you hit those lakes when they were just right back in 1948-49 in there. I think the fish were actually smaller, but you could catch more of them. Yeah.
The brookies that are
And then the one I enjoyed fishing was the old Olive Arden. I used to like to catch them. But you just don't find them anymore, except maybe on the Minum River. I think you can still go over there and catch a Dolly Varden or two. But as far as Eagle Creek, well, it's not unusual to pick up a dolly there that, over 2 feet long. They were quite common there at one time, back in the 40s and 50s.
Were they pretty well spread out, like between the different Eagle Creeks over there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were in West Eagle, they were in East Eagle, they were in the Main Eagle there. The biggest one I ever caught was right below the falls on Main Eagle there, 28 inches.
guess one thing I haven't talked about would be like the waterfowl population in the, in the Grand Round. But
well, there's nothing compared to what it used to be. About all we have here now, we don't have anything coming in hardly. Most of what we have are locals. We do have a few, but that come in later in the fall, but nothing compared to what we used to. They used to flood Smith Well there again, the old Davis Ranch out there. They used to flood practically that whole thing in the fall, and I've seen thousands upon thousands upon thousands of ducks out there. And I mean thousands. That's when the limit was 10, and you could go out and get your 10 ducks. Very easy. We didn't even use decoys. We'd just pick a spot, you know, where they were coming in, and get in behind the, pull a little hay off the haystack and put it into the fence and get behind the hay and get with it. Some of the best duck shooting around. But what's happened in this valley to change that, I have no idea. I think the change has happened more down Boardman way and all that. When they got everything they need down there, you know, why do they want to come here? You know, I don't know what's changed it, but I do know it's been a heck of a change.
Yeah, when was that about, when you're run into all those ducks coming in?
Oh, well, ever since I can remember, actually. And then it started to change all in the 60s.
Now, are geese about the same?
The geese were a little different there for a long time. I don't know. You didn't see many geese here in the valley. I think actually now we have more local geese than we had back in the 50s and in the 40s. As far as Thief Valley and that country down there, I've hunted that for years. We're not getting near the geese into the Thief Valley that we used to. We get the locals, a few locals again, but we used to have quite a bunch of geese come in there, you know, that would come in through or on the flyaway, you know. But we don't, here in the last, 6 or 7 years, we just don't have the geese in there that we had for a while, for some reason. I don't know what it is. Same reason, I guess, that they got all the good stuff down there on the Columbia, so. I don't know if anyone knows why that flyaway has changed from what it used to be, but it sure as heck has.
Yeah, when I talk about flyaway, it's quite a large area where you can do a lot of things that can modify it.
Yep. I was thinking here the other day after I talked to you about this. Have you talked to old Bert Wardell?
Not yet. No, yeah. I was thinking about it. Trying to catch him.
Yeah, he's trapped here all of his life. Yeah, he's hunted. And yeah, he...
Is there anyone else you think of? Because I talked with George and said, like, Ralph Puckett, of course, who lived over in that country, you know, like the change of the valley, would he been there for, you know, length of time, where he probably had a pretty good idea.
I can't think of anyone off that stone hand, but
because it was lost an awful lot over the years. It's pretty old, you know.
You could just about see from two color to Cougar Meadows. You know, that it's grown up that much. Mm-hmm. You go in there now, you'd play hell. But that was just practically wide open in there, and then the number of cottonwoods, there were quite a few cottonwoods in there at the time. We've lost all of that in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been so long since I've been up in there.
But boy, I'll tell you, it's changed. Well, hasn't the summit up here changed?
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about when I drove over that the other day. I was like, good grief. You just be where you just look out over that whole thing and come down that corner.
Yeah, you come down there. In fact, as you know, if we want to look at anything over towards the Ball Mountain Way or anything for smoke, well, we just pull up on that, go up, turn around, and start back down towards Union on that straightaway, and you can see that whole country.
Yeah, see the whole country.
You play hell seeing it now. Boy, it does change.
Get like a pine squirrel climb up one of those trees up on top.
Yeah, it sure does change. And all that right out from the old goat ranch there, you know, all that in there, we broke her ass, you know, trying to plant that in there. And I don't know how many times that was planted. Now they're in there doing it, you know.
Yeah, Mother Nature does a pretty good job.
Yep, leave her alone. Yep.
A lot of that stuff.
That smart of burn out there, that tickled me on that, you know, the way that grew up all on its own.
Yeah, the same way all the troubles go through.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I looked at. It's just the cutting practices. If you cut it such a way, you let, you know, like I said, Mother Nature take care of it, mm-hmm. then it does pretty good.
Yep.
You leave some trees in there and some cover.
I don't know if that isn't the answer to this spotted owl thing. I don't know why in the hell they can't log that way and let the owl have some of that.
Well, that's it. Well, I remember, God, that was up off the American River. We took a trip up there one time. That wasn't when, you know, you and Ed and I went up to Wenatchee. That wasn't you and Ed and I
mm-hmm.
went up
there. Yeah, you and Ed and I and Ron.
It's something else. I was over on that, and they clear cut 100 acres. And it was, it reminded me a great deal of Indian Creek, except they had 9 species up there instead of 7.
Mm-hmm.
And they clear cut 100 acres, and they planted the whole thing to Doug Fir, and the frost come in and wiped the whole thing out. And I said, my God, you got a perpetual forest here.
Yeah.
If you're just going, because going in, we went over into the area where it was hadn't been cut at all.
Mm-hmm.
And there's everything from seedlings clear up into these great big old giants in there. And I said, you know, just go in, and there's no reason to ever plant when you looked at what it cost you to plant or brush control or trying to protect those seedlings. It's just completely crazy.
No,
putting that investment into it.
Well, they had an area over here. They wanted to, there was an old system road into it over on the Grand District here. But anyways, this lodgepole, you know, they were going to go in. It's a great big basin, beautiful basin there. And they were going to go in and salvage that lodgepole. And underneath, you name it, they had tamarack, they had some Doug fir, they had white fir, they had the damnest stand of reprod underneath that you could believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why in the hell don't you just leave this alone and let that shit fall down?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? Oh no, we got to go in there and salvage. And they did. And the next time that I saw that, or the last time I saw it, it looked like this up here on Miller's. I don't know if you've seen that or not, but they had the damnedest stand of bull thistle in there you ever saw in your life, and that's all they had.
Yeah.
They killed every damn thing they had in there.
Jesus.
It's a mess. I don't know. I can't figure them out sometimes.
Yeah, because you had, like I said, such a stand in there.
Yeah.
You know, like that.
No, it's beautiful, you know, stuff, you know, just, no, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense at all. Like I said, you know, go and tear the whole thing up.
Nope, no sense at all. Now I get a kick following the spotted owl thing. That's God. I don't think they really know what that owl does want. That's what he prefers, maybe, but it's like that goddamn Pooh Bar, you know. He had such a thing for these goshawks, you know. And I took him down there one day and showed him one down there in Bazine Creek. He was right out in the thorn brush, right out in the sagebrush. Mm-hmm. Now I says, does he need 40 acres? Yeah, he was, boy, he had the hots for them. Bruce and I here the other day had to take a look. Driving through from medical there through by over around by Thief Valley and coming through, and there was a goshawk sitting out there on the fence post right out there in the sagebrush. He didn't know he wasn't supposed to be there, but he was there.
Nobody told him.